Welcome to Hack the Entrepreneur, the show which reveals the fears, habits, and inner battles behind big-name entrepreneurs and those on their way to joining them. Now here is your host, John Naster.
I want to take a moment to thank today's sponsor, DesignCrowd. DesignCrowd is a website that helps startups and small businesses outsource or crowdsource custom graphics, logos, and web design from over 500,000 designers around the world. Check out designcrowd.com/hack. That's designcrowd.com/hack to learn more and receive a special $100 VIP offer when you start your next project. Or just simply enter the discount code HACK when posting a project on DesignCrowd. Hey, this is Hack the Entrepreneur. Thank you so much for joining me today. I am your host, John Naster, but you can call me Johnny. My guest today is an author, a teacher, and a brilliant entrepreneur that currently runs two very, very impressive businesses. He started Crucial Vacuum when he purchased the merchandise from his parents' brick-and-mortar vacuum store as it went out of business. He thought he could make it work if he just learned to sell this stuff on the internet. I think he figured it out. In 2015, the Crucial brand, now encompassing Crucial Air and Crucial Coffee, did over $8 million in revenue. Also, while building this e-commerce empire, him and his team ended up building a software platform to optimize and run their own business. Then, as any serial entrepreneur would do, he turned that into its own successful seven-figure SaaS business. It is now known as Skubana, and it helps other high-revenue e-commerce sellers optimize and run their businesses. Now, let's hack Chad Rubin. Today's episode of Hack the Entrepreneur was brought to you by Concordia University, Wisconsin. Are you inspired to do something huge? Are you kept awake at night with ideas for new businesses? And do you crave the hustle that comes with starting from the ground up? Concordia University, Wisconsin has a new MBA in innovation and entrepreneurship. It's perfect, whether you want to start your own company or innovate within an existing organization. It has strong focus on making the world a better place through social impact. You'll gain the skills and prestige that come with an MBA while also working on your own business plan. Students even get the opportunity to compete for seed money. It's available 100% online and can be completed in under 2 years. Plus, it's designed for busy professionals. Every student gets a dedicated success advisor who helps you keep your life in balance while you study. Go to onlineinfo.cuw.edu/hack to learn more. If you decide to apply, enter the coupon code HACK, and Concordia University, Wisconsin will waive your application fee. We're back with another episode of Hack the Entrepreneur, and today we have a very, very special guest. Chad, welcome to the show.
Thanks for having me, John.
Absolutely my pleasure. This is going to be a lot of fun. So let's jump into it. Chad, you are a man who wears many hats, but today we're talking to Chad the entrepreneur. So Chad, as an entrepreneur, can you tell me what is the one thing that you do that you feel has been the biggest contributor to your successes so far?
I think I'm a great salesperson, and I manage staff very well and create processes around and an infrastructure around my business to automate it and allowing me to wear a lot of the hats that you described upon introduction.
Nice. So great at processes. So you're like the operations guy of the business?
I'm a builder. I like to build, and then I like to find people that do it better than me and allow them to grow.
Nice. And so by this, let's dig into these processes, because this fascinates people, I know. Mm-hmm. When you're talking about creating a process for a business, do you have to create it yourself and then delegate it out? Or do you delegate the whole creation process out?
Initially, it was all me doing the processes and I delegated it, but now I have staff. Like, I run a $10 million business with two employees in the e-commerce world. And so to do that, I have two employees in the U.S., and to do that, you need to have properly trained staff and operational procedures in place to allow that to happen.
Yeah, I would think you would. And the marketing, and you run the marketing and sales of it?
I'm actually not very involved in that business. That's the beauty of it. I have really talented employees that are involved in that business, and then they report to me. And it took us a long time, because this is not magic that happened overnight. There's a long process to get to this point.
Yeah, I would think so. And how do you run it? Like, two people, like, are they like almost like entrepreneurial in spirit themselves?
I like to hire people that have an entrepreneurial mindset. So I think I create and incubate entrepreneurs within an organization and give them autonomy to succeed. But like, I've outsourced our warehouse operation. Sorry, we used to have all these employees doing pick and pack in my own warehouse, picking and packing boxes and sending them direct to consumer. And now I've literally have hired somebody to do that for us.
I see. Okay.
So we focus on our core competencies. So like, we have a warehouse that we've outsourced, and we've outsourced talented individuals. A lot of them are offshore. And then we keep a lot of the higher value activities here in the United States.
Okay. So this makes more sense. I was like, what do you get people packing $10 million in product a year and also selling it? And there's two of them. So what stage of the business, because you said $10 million a year, what stage did you get rid of the pick and pack and stop sending, like mailing it yourself?
I think that was about 3.5 years ago. And honestly, I wish I can take credit for that move. And my wife was just like, Chad, you need to get rid of this warehouse immediately. And it was literally the best decision that I've made.
Really?
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Freed up my time and allows me to be the CEO of Stubana versus having to run my e-commerce business.
Right. Okay. So Stubana is your like software platform, I believe, now, right?
Yep. So we built the software to run and automate our e-commerce business and make it available to others.
You built it for yourself, and then you're like, other people need this too. Let's sell it to them.
Exactly.
Smart.
So we eat our own dog food, and we're solving a problem. There's nothing on the market that does what we do, which is combines all these fragmented softwares in one place to operate and manage your business.
Excellent. Excellent. And so there's Skibana, then there's the e-commerce business, which started with vacuums, I believe, and then has gone into just ThinkCrucial.
Yeah. So we started off making vacuum filters. So just the backstory of it, I used to be on Wall Street. I used to cover internet stocks. My parents had a vacuum store next to Walmart, and they were always struggling to make ends meet. And I said, Mom, Dad, you need to be on the internet. And they didn't get on the internet. So I got laid off of Wall Street and started selling product on the internet. And sure enough, I started going direct to consumer before it was a really cool, sexy thing to do. And now we make all these replacement accessories for the home, not just vacuums, but air, humidification, cannabis filtration, grow room bags, you name it, we're there making it.
Wow. And so this is the original business that you started when you came online.
Yep.
Wow. So there was no like iterative process and okay, that one doesn't work. Let's go to this market. Let's go to this market. You've just started with vacuums and now branched out to sort of filtration in general.
The filter king. Yeah. So I started off with vacuums, and then I just replicated that same success in those verticals in other verticals.
Wow. That's cool. That's cool. So this idea of like Wall Street, I'm assuming finance and stuff. What was like your thought process behind the fact that I can just now become an entrepreneur? Like, I guess you grew up in an entrepreneurial household because your parents, but what made you not just go get another job at a bank or a like venture capital firm or something?
Well, actually, I grew up in a very tough place where my parents were living from credit card to credit card. So that's all I knew about being an entrepreneur was failure. So I was a first generation college grad. I went to college. My parents didn't. And I was like, oh, I'm going to go make more money working for other people because this entrepreneur thing, just I'm not going to hack it. I don't want to live that way. I don't want to live credit card to credit card. So I went onto Wall Street thinking, okay, my parents lacked in finance. I studied finance at UMass Amherst and decided to go to Wall Street and learned a ton, but found that that really wasn't for me.
Must have been hard though, first generation college. And then you have like it's like the American dream of a job working on Wall Street, right?
I was making a lot of money, but I was working from 7 a.m. till like 2 a.m. every night. My girlfriend, who's now my wife at the time, was like, Chad, you gotta do something about this. This is not working. And my parents were going out of business with a vacuum store, and I was covering internet stocks. So I saw the growth that was happening on the internet in 2006, 2007, 2008, finally when I got laid off in February, Friday the 13th, 2009, it was just a perfect transition for me to start my own internet business selling product. But instead of selling product, I decided to actually sell direct to consumers or cut out the middleman.
I love it. So you took the two worlds that you saw and combined them. Did you use your parents' store at the time for getting your product and sort of warehousing and shipping?
So my parents were actually going out of business. Right. So what I did was I sold their product on the internet. I literally bought their product out of bankruptcy, sold it on the internet. And when I went to replenish, I couldn't get good margins. I was like, wait, why am I buying this vacuum filter for $20 and selling it for $23? Like there's no, I don't want to make pennies when I sell product. And so I started my first product, which was a vacuum filter, very unsexy, right? And then I started moving into things I like that I'm passionate about. So I love coffee. Mm-hmm. And so I was like, okay, after I disrupt this vacuum space, what's the next move I want to make? Coffee. So I started making replacement coffee filters. It was a very logical transition in my head.
I love it. So the vacuums was just, you knew that there was a market. It's a commodity sort of where people need to replenish it and need to use them. You had the stock, you had sort of a working knowledge of it. And so that just was the first place to start.
Exactly.
Nice, nice. All right. So you're a great salesperson and you're great at processes. That's your one thing that has sort of set you apart at this point. Now, every business expert talks about the 80-20 rule. So you're supposed to do 20% and get 80% of the results, do what you're good at and delegate the rest. Can you tell me, Chad, something that you're absolutely not good at in your business?
What am I not good at? I've worn a lot of hats, right? Chief everything officer, you're doing the dishes, you're doing the laundry, you're doing all the stuff you hate to do. And so I've had to do a lot of things that I hate, but once I hack it, I give it to somebody else. I think the other thing I forgot to mention that I'm good at is I get a lot of stuff done and I just execute on it, even if I hate it. So what am I not good at? Anything that's not my core competency. So I love building, but once a company is mature, I like to hand off the reins and allow other, and I like to get into the next thing that I like to build. So I would say that I'm just good at getting rid of things that are not my core competency. So Google AdWords, right, is not something that I'm really proficient in. I can do it. I can get it done. I can do a good job with it, but it's not something that I'd love to do or that I am proficient in doing. Or blogging, right? All the things that I just am not, all those things I'm not just not good at. I'd rather find somebody that's super amazing at it and let them do it.
Right. The things that aren't sitting down, basically looking at numbers or screens for too long.
I love numbers. I love screens. In fact, the thing that I'm most upset about at the fact that I have a mature, two really nice businesses is the fact that I don't sit down in the weeds enough, right? I'm stuck on conference calls. I'm doing interviews. I'm building partnerships. I'm dealing with closing large customers. And I'd rather be maybe in the weeds looking at some spreadsheets every now and then and playing with numbers and say forecasting where we're going to be.
But it's just not worth your time.
Yeah, it's a lower value activity. So what, like you said, 80-20, what's going to yield me the highest results where I put my time? And time is a commodity that we're never going to get back. So you need to properly deploy your attention and time to something that's going to yield you the highest results.
Yeah. Okay. So several times now in this short conversation, you've mentioned that you're a builder. Mm-hmm. You like to get shit done and just doing things that produce. So let's move to projects if we can. It's probably changed from the time that you got started to now running a $10 million business and now Skubana as well and doing very high level things. There's got to be projects and ideas or new products that you come up with an idea or the idea is brought to you. But I would love to know how your process is today, like if it's a written process or just a gut check process. But what is the process you go through, Chad, to decide when a new project is worth yours and your team's time, energy, and resources?
Mm-hmm. Well, I read a great book, Essentialism, which is really about saying no to projects and prioritizing and placing your energy in the most important projects. So I've actually had to train myself because I'm like, oh, I can do all these things, right? I can write a book. I can write two businesses. I can teach in New York City. I can do everything that I want to do. But in reality, I can't, and I don't want to do that. I'd rather just do a few things and do them really well. So when it comes to processes, we prioritize often here, and we say no to things that aren't going to yield us the largest prize. And on top of that, we, from a written perspective, we write out processes and allow people to learn things that are not here on the ground. Like anything that's low value, you know, we have a bucket list and we have a do not do list as well. And that do not do list, we just absolutely don't do. And the bucket list, we split up and prioritize. And if there's anything that's repetitive, we give that to an employee that's really good that can do that, that can do that task.
Wow, I love it.
And we use Trello as a system to manage these tasks, if you're familiar.
Yeah, of course. I use Trello 100 times a day. And Google Docs or something just to actually manage your processes?
Google Docs for the operational documents. Yeah. So I have two virtual assistants, one that manages one business and one that manages the other. And we're on Slack. We're using Google Docs for written operational documents. And to get people ramped up very, very quickly, we write out, take a lot of screenshots, put them in the Google document, and get everything in a nice package to allow them to succeed.
Nice. I like it. And with deciding on a new product, like going into filters of like coffee or now an extension further than that, what kind of research are you doing? Or is it just something that customers are asking you? What is it you're going through? Or are you now, because of essentialism, just this is as many products as we're covering?
No, we're launching new products like consistently, because when I first started the vacuum in the vacuum space, it took somebody 6 years to copy me. But now I think the rate of copying and the rate of competition is so increased because I think there's a whole community of Amazon sellers out there and people that are seeing what's selling and replicating those models. So the barriers to entry are minimal at this point. So we're constantly researching new products. So I wrote a book about this, Cheaper, Easier, Direct. It goes through the whole discovery process, but I use a lot of Amazon because like most people have an Amazon account. Mm-hmm. 40% of product searches are happening on Amazon today, and most of those people never leave Amazon's ecosystem. So I use a lot of Amazon to figure out what I'm going to move into next, whether it's reviews, whether it's looking at best-selling rank. There's a few different ways I look at it, but I do a lot of heavy research, and I let my employees do that research too.
So your job now is to take your team and resources around you to produce new products faster than new people coming on board into the market can do.
Exactly. We're going to where the puck is going. Like vacuum filters is commoditized, like you said, but now there's so many copycats and it's just not even worth producing more vacuum filters. So we started making all these other products, but making sure that our products are solving a problem. And I think that's very important because a lot of people go on Amazon or start a site and they're like, oh, I'm going to make a garlic press or I'm going to make a spatula. And that is not the way you're going to win in this environment. It's very, very competitive.
I hear this all the time. And so you aren't strictly based on Amazon?
Absolutely not. No, I sell on 20 different channels. So Amazon, eBay, Wayfair, Overstock, Walmart.com, Jet.com, Newegg, Rakuten, Shopify, Magento, et cetera. I can go on and on, but you get the point.
I do get the point. So when you launch a new product and it doesn't get traction that you expected, do you iterate or drop the idea and move to the next?
Well, at that point, you've already invested heavily in the product. So I like to try to minimize my spend. Like if I'm going to lose money, it's just like not everything's going to be a home run, right? I've made a lot of mistakes. I've lost a lot of hair. I've lost money. How can you minimize the mistakes that you're making? So I try to do as much research up front to minimize and get that word guessing out of the equation. And even then, there's still a delta and there's still a difference on, yeah, I might make a mistake on this product. So at that point, we play with the price. We do more advertising. We try to optimize the listings that we currently have. And if that still doesn't work, then we need to just cut our losses. It's a sunk cost at that point.
Right, exactly. And so is this culture of dealing with mistakes or failure in this way? Like you seem to like just brush it off like it's part of the game and that's how you're going to get to where you want to go. Is this something you push throughout your team that it's okay to do these things that might not work out?
Yeah, look, we've all made mistakes here. I don't have a temper tantrum about it. I don't yell at my employees about it, but we have made mistakes along the way, especially since I'm not even involved in that business as much as I used to be. So we're always making mistakes and we're learning from our mistakes and we're just redeploying our capital into things that yield us a higher return. It's just like automating processes. This, I look at it the same way.
Which is just kind of come up with the process for it and sort of
I put my attention into what's going to yield us the most return. And it's the same thing when you're actually dealing with products. And at some point, there's a sunk cost, and you're like, you know what? Either I just get rid of the product, eliminate it, get rid of that process or that function, and don't deal with it anymore, and move on to the next one. I don't dwell in my losses. That's just not who I am. And I don't think I built a culture around that either.
I love it. I love it. Because dwelling on it isn't the high value. It's not worth your time.
Yeah, exactly.
I love it. All right, man. This has been a lot of fun. I want to wrap up on one final question for you. This idea I'm working with calling the entrepreneurial gap. So you've been at this now for quite some time. You've had huge successes. Yet as entrepreneurs, we seem to, no matter how successful we look from the outside, we never see it ourselves. Your success to you is going to come in 1 month when you hit that revenue goal, in 6 months when you stand on that stage, whatever it happens to be. Yet, Chad, you and I both know that right before you hit that, you're going to set 5 or 10 bigger ones into the future, which puts us into this gap of never seeing ourselves as successful. So, Chad, if you could right now stop, turn and look behind you, look at the wins, the losses, the highs and the lows, but tell me how you feel about your journey until today.
I feel enormously blessed to have been on this journey. I don't think a lot of people not everyone makes it to the entrepreneur status or has been able to build two businesses, even just one business. So I feel blessed where I'm at. I also, like you said, I think I have a unquenchable thirst to succeed and just surpass where I'm at today. So I feel really good about my journey. It's definitely not over. And I'm looking forward to the next journey, which is probably going to be just a coffee shop and building a community in the town that I live in. That's like the retirement plan. So yeah, I feel great about it. It's been a roller coaster ride. Like you said, I've had a lot of downs, and even my wife, who owns a yoga studio, we're always all like, we can always dwell on what has gone bad that day, but we like to dwell on our success and like celebrate the wins, and we fully celebrate every single win that we have.
I love it, man. I love it. An unquenchable thirst is a good way to put it. And I look forward to trying out your coffee shop in the future when you open it. So we've got to talk about your businesses, Chad, in passing. Can you specifically tell the listener where they can go track you guys down online?
You can check out the book that I just wrote, Cheaper, Easier, Direct. It's on Amazon. No surprise there. You can find me anywhere. If you type in Chad Rubin, there's some interviews on me out there. You can email me, chad@stubana.com. I respond to every email. If you have questions, if there's any way I can help you in your journey, I'm all about reciprocity and giving back. So if there's any way I can help, I'm available.
Excellent. Excellent. I will link to this on the show notes for everyone. Cheaper, Easier, Direct is the book. Make sure you pick that up. Skubana.com is the website. Chad@Skubana is the email. We talked about Google Docs, Trello, and Essentialism. I'll link to all those on hacktheentrepreneur.com. Chad, once again, thank you so much for taking the time to stop by and chat today. Thanks for being so open. And please just keep doing what you're doing, man, because it's awesome and inspiring to watch.
Thanks so much. Thanks for your time.
That was a lot of fun. So I get to talk to a lot of smart people, and I like to think that I don't get like sort of numbed to it or jaded or take it for granted even. But there's certain people that come out of the blue, like Chad did to me, and really, really kind of astound me. Just this conversation was like 20 minutes or 21 minutes long, and there was so much in there. He's a smart, smart dude running not just one, but two super successful and brilliant businesses. And it was such a fun conversation. And it really makes me realize that I don't take him these conversations for granted. And I really enjoyed it. I hope you really got as much out of that as I did. And I hope that, I mean, Chad, if you want to get into e-commerce or selling stuff on the internet, which I hope you do, Chad just gave you his email address, right? You heard that? I'm pretty sure you heard him say that. And you're listening to this and you want to go where Chad is? He just gave you access to him. Tell him, I heard you on Hack the Entrepreneur. Ask him your question. See what you need. See what you can do. See what you can work out. But he gave you that. He gave you that. Like, he gave you permission to reach out to him. If you don't reach out to him, I don't really know what we're doing here. This is the point. And most people on my show don't give you access like that. Chad just did. Take him up on that, or else, I don't know, we're playing the wrong game. But make sure you do that, because this is what it's about. And Chad's a smart, smart dude, and he loves to teach. He teaches, I can't remember what university he said, but holy smokes, he just gave you access. Take that opportunity. So this conversation was not long, but there was so much in it. So I went back and I listened, and I went back and listened again, and then I went back one more time, and I listened to everything that Chad said. And that last time I went through, there was something so very, very, very clear. It was it. It was that one thing. Did you get it? Did you hear it? Let's do it. Let's find the hack.
Now there's so many copycats, and it's just not even worth producing more vacuum filters. So we started making all these other products, but making sure that our products are solving a problem. And I think that's very important, because a lot of people go on Amazon or start a site and they're like, oh, I'm going to make a garlic press, or I'm going to make a spatula. And that is not the way you're going to win in this environment. It's very, very competitive.
And that's the hack. Chad. I love this. So again, you're out there and you've probably heard about these people selling things on Amazon. I love, first of all, that Chad's not just selling on Amazon. He's selling on eBay, on Shopify, like everywhere he can get in front of potential customers. That's where he is. And then this idea of people just creating things that they think sells, which he just said, like a garlic press or something, or a spatula, and it doesn't work. It's very, very competitive, and there's copycats everywhere. So what did he say? Make sure that you are solving a problem. Now, I'm not in the e-commerce game. I don't think I'll be in the e-commerce game, but that doesn't make it less relevant to me. And you might not be going into the e-commerce game, but that doesn't make it less relevant. I had somebody, I wish I could remember his name, from freelancer.com on, and he talked about this whole idea of a painkiller versus a vitamin. This is the exact same thing. When you're coming up with your business plan and your business model, like the idea of what you're going to create or the service you're going to provide, don't provide a vitamin. Vitamins are great, but we don't need them right now. When somebody has a pain point that they need solved right now, that's when they'll pay money. That's when they'll take action. That's when it's easier to make the sale. And from making that sale, you can make many sales, which then increases revenue, which then builds an actual business. There's a ton of copycats. Make sure, above all else, your idea from now on, any idea you have for a new business, don't let it go to step two if it doesn't solve a pain point. If it doesn't solve a problem, as Chad says. If it's just a vitamin, pass on it. Go to the next one. Trust me, he's got two businesses doing close to, if not $10 million a year at this point. He knows what he's talking about. Solve a problem. Find the problem, solve it, and build a business around it. Chad, thank you so very much for sharing. Whew, that was a lot of fun. That was a lot of fun. I should have more e-commerce people on there, on the show, shouldn't I? I think I'm going to look into that. Yeah, I'm going to spread our wings here at Hack the Entrepreneur. Reach out to some new... We've had actually quite a few e-commerce, but still. I had someone, a listener, reach out to me via email who's looking to start a brewery, like an independent beer company. And he thought it'd be cool if I had some beer entrepreneurs. So I reached out to another listener who's turned into a good friend of mine, and we talk sometimes, and he used to be in the brewing industry. And so I've actually got two lined up to be coming on the show, which is really cool. There's a market that you're working in or you want to be working in, and I haven't interviewed people within that market, drop me an email. Hit me up on Twitter. I'd love to hear your ideas of who you would love to hear on the show, and even just new sort of markets to venture out into. I try and keep branching out, but still, lots of times I stay within the things that I know and dig myself. So yeah, I'm totally open to ideas all the time from you. Here to make this as good for you as possible. And I just love talking to smart people, especially in new markets. All right, it's been fun. I thank you so much. Hacktheentrepreneur.com is the website. Make sure to stop by there, and I'm going to have links to Chad's book, Chad's site, and Trello and Google Docs, and the Essentialism book, or you could find them all on Amazon. Chad's book is Cheaper, Easier, Direct. You can get that directly on Amazon as well. And you can get on the email list at Hack the Entrepreneur, and get some of my writing every Sunday. It'll be fun, you know? All right. It's been fun. Thank you so much. And please, until next time, keep hacking the entrepreneur.